Last thing we saw was the Gemara in the Gemara in Zvachim and Sadi Gimel, and the Mishnayos in Parim Perek Yud Mishnah Hey. All right, so what do we see there, Jeremy? Bring us up to date. Give us the mise en scène. Give us the stage setting.
So we saw the case that I think there were two cases in Paro, one where you're throwing the mechatas and there's a sheret that goes over it during that throw, and the other case was where you pass your hand over an oven, which has you pass your hand with the
in the Mishnah. Which case do you have?
The Mishnah is that latter case where you've got the clay in your hand and
so
you pass
argues,
it over.
Who argues in the Mishnah?
So the Mishnah is machlok between Chacham and Rabbi Akiva.
Rabbi Akiva holds
that it's tameh.
It's tameh. So it seems on the surface, and this is what the Bavli suggests in Zvachim Tzadi Gimel, they're arguing about Kuta Kmishon Chadamya. Rabbi Kiva's Lashitaso in Shabbos, where he holds Kuta Kmishon Chadamya, so here too he holds Kuta Kmishon Chadamya, correct? Problem is what? Which the Bavli points out. Why is it not so simple?
It's because of that other kid.
Yeah, because it's Tosefta. The Tosefta throws in that Mode Rabbi Akiva the Hazah. And he won't say that the Hazah itself becomes Tameh if it passes over a Sheretz. So what did the Bavli say was based on? Gzera Shema Yaniyah. And the Rashmi Shantz, and the Tosus Yom Tov, and the Rush, I believe, perhaps. So they all suggested in their Perisha Mishnayis and Parah that it's a Machlokes about Choshen Shema Yaniyah or not. Or Gzera Shema Yaniyah. But the Rambam Perish HaMishnayis, followed by the Bar Tanura, Paskin, that what's Machlokas about? Kutuk Mishon Chadamya, ignoring the Maskan of the Gemara in Zmachim Tzadi Gimel. So how do we explain the Rambam? By the way, were we able to find the Gra in the end?
We never found
the Gra. So on the Tosefta, on the bottom of Tosefta, especially in the new... Well, if you look in the back, if you look in like the new Mishnayis Taros, like in that you have like in the new like Vagshal Shasas, like just in the back of Nida.
Okay.
So they have like Mishnayis Taros. And in the back they'll have Tosefta Para. I think I might have brought it. I don't know if it's... And on the bottom they have Shabir Hagra. Here, even this one has it. They have the Bir Hagra underneath the Tosefta. So what does the Gra say? The Gra says that the reason why Rabbi Akiva is Moda for Hazah is because you can't say Klutek Mishon Chadami in the case of Hazah. Why not?
There's no potential that it's going to fall down the trajectory of
right. It. Yeah. Good. So because there's no potential, you just project the trajectory. So therefore, you can't say kluta kmishon chadamia for something that's underneath the object. But when it's biyad, so then there's a possibility that you might put it down, and that's sufficient to say kluta kmishon chadamia. So it seems, according to Tosefta, according to the Gra, according to the Rambam's read of the Mishnah, that you'll say kluta kmishon chadamia if there's the capability for a hanacha. If it's in the air, then you're not going to say kluta. That's clearly in contrast to the cases in Hilchos Shabbos. In Hilchos Shabbos, the cases are Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaRabim, Ve'emtza. There's no projected Hanacha in the Rishus HaRabim. Good? Okay. So it seems that there is going to be a distinction here between kluta kamisha hunchadamya, according to Rabbi Akiva, in at least this case in Zvachim, and Rabbi Akiva's own Shita in Hilchos Shabbos. Now, we also pointed out this seems to be a special halacha in Hilchos Mechatas. Minichim sham b'makom tahar. Who pointed that out in the Gemara? Who says in the Gemara it's a special din in Mechatas? A din in all of Tuman Tahar, or a din in just...
Was that the Tosfot Yom
Tov? No, I think it was Rashi. Rashi on the Gemara says... V'natal as halogin shel Mechatas u'mseches partanin u'mayla hi l'mechatas. Is a special maila for mechatas. It would not apply to all other tamen tara. Correct? And I just pointed out that the Rash Mishans and the Rambam in that same Perek and Parah, in Perek Yud, Mishnah Gimel, discuss the machlokes Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, about a case of mechatas in a klicheres, shenoga b'sheretz, shenosno al gabe sheretz, you put it on top of a sheretz. We pointed out that can actually be tamas maga, because the din is a klicheres and not a tamim migabo. Rabbi Lozer holds your tummy. Why? So both the Rash Mishans and the Rambam say it's a special halacha in Hilchos Mechatas that needs makom tahar. It's not about necessarily maga b'tumah. So here, Klutuk Mishon Chadami is not saying that we project the object as if it's touching the Devar HaTameh, simply that Klutuk Mishon Chadami makes it being in the makom Hatame. Okay, that's what we saw in the Gemara in Zvachim, the Mishnah in Para, and the Tosafta in Para. So that's one case of Kluta Kamisha on Chadamya outside of Hilchos Shabbos. What do we find in the Gemara in Gittin? Ayin Tassim Bar Aleph in the Mishnah. Rachel, what do we find?
That was the get case. So,
the get case.
Yeah, so you drop a get from like a roof to a chater. And so it just says that if the machito, one second, let me just find my notes. So we say, right, the commissioner says that Kivan that, you know, she's Migrashad even good. If it's Nimchaka afterwards.
Good.
And then, yeah. And then,
how do the Gemara qualify that?
If the mechitzot or the chater are like raised to level.
You need mechitzot hachitzonos odfos al ha'elyonos. Mechitzot hachitzonos odfos al ha'elyonos. I guess lashon Gemara. Yeah, you need the gate around the chater to be taller than the gag inside. Why? Why do you need that?
Because otherwise, it's not mintar.
It's not mintar. How did Rashi explain this concept of mintar in the Gemara?
Was it because of an atan yedra?
No.
Avir
shesofa lanuach. You need it to be that it's projected to land in this airspace, in this area. So if you don't have mechitzos, then you can't project the landing. That's how Rashi explains. So you need avir shesofa lanuach. That's going to be the critical line here in Rashi's interpretation of all these gemaras. Okay, for kinyanim, you need avir shesofa lanuach. Now, the gemara suggested that maybe the man, the Deya, the author of this Mishnah is Q, who?
Rebbe. I don't know which one was Rebbe, which one was
Rebbe. Okay. Very, very interesting. We'll come back to whether Rebbe and Rebbe Akiva is their difference. But that is the man Damar who holds of Kluta and Hilchos Shabbos. Now, the Gemara rejected that. The Gemara said, even the Chachamim who disagree with Kluta and Shabbos will agree to this case in Gittin. Mm-hmm. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Because of Mintar.
Mintar. Over here, all you need is Mintar, which Rashi seemed to explain, once again, as a din in Avir Shesof Lenuach. That's a Rashi, Dibur HaMaschil V'Halo Mintar, explains that Mintar is Sof Lenuach. So over here, all you need is Sof Lenuach. You have it. So everyone's going to hold that she's Megurashas. Okay. Now, I just want to ask the question, is this halacha a permutation of Kluta outside of Hilchos Shabbos? Just like we saw in the Bavli and the Tosefta in Para, that you may have a case of Kluta outside of Hilchos Shabbos only according to Rabbi Akiva, right? It's the same Rabbi Akiva, just that outside of Hilchos Shabbos it looks a little different, has different dinim, which we'll have to account for later. Or perhaps, does the Gemara in Gittin mean to say, this is not midin Kluta at all, this is a separate halacha of kinyonim of Chatzer. Meaning, is the Gemara stepping out of Kluta at this point, or is the Gemara saying it's still Kluta, just it's not the Kluta of Hilchos Shabbos? And I'll elaborate on what that means in a moment. The Yerushalmi in Gittin posed this question. This is where we left off. The Yerushalmi in Gittin asked, Ma bein Shabbos to Ma bein Gittin? Why is that everybody agrees for get? So what did the Yerushalmi say? Q, what did the Yerushalmi say? Ma bein Shabbos to Ma bein Gittin? At Hasan by Shabbos Ksev Lo Sase Kol Melacha, but Nasis Hi Me'eleha. For whatever reason, Kluta is a case of Nasis Me'eleha. It happened on its own. Mashin Kain Get V'Nasan B'Yad Ksev. Now, what's not clear in the Yerushalmi is which is the rule and which is the exception. Is the exception that the Chachamim disagree? Sorry, is the rule that you say Kluta K'misha Hun Chadamya, and the exception is Shabbos because you need Lo Sase Kol Melacha? Or is the rule that you're not going to say Kluta Kamisha Hun Chadamya, and the exception is Hilchos Gittin? Why? Because Hilchos Gittin V'Nasan B'Yada. What might that mean? Why is V'Nasan B'Yada an exception? Why would you say Get is different?
So it's like the Mintar answer. It's a different level of qualification for.
So why? Well, how is that? How is that latent in V'Nasan B'Yada?
That it's not a matter of. It's going to be able to. I'm not sure.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, if chater is an extension of yad, then we just care that it's in the yad. With yad, we just care that it's in the yad. So with chater, we just care that it's in the chater.
So you're arguing that this seems to be a general kinyanim issue. Kinyanim would be the exception, right? Let's suggest for the moment that maybe kinyanim don't have kluta even, and here it's a special din in get, benasam biyada.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Right, that get, you don't need kluta, you just need benasam biyada, just that it has to be in, she has to be in possession of it. So either that means in her hand, or if chater is an extension of yad, then it has to be in her chater, but it doesn't have to be kluta. It doesn't have to be munach on the ground.
Why doesn't it have to be munach? Why not?
Because her chater, she owns her entire chater.
Say a little sharper even. For kinyanim, let's say we won't hold kluta. But yes, for Gittin, we will say...
Oh, for Gittin specifically?
I'm saying that's like Gittin specifically is the exception.
I mean, it's not a regular...
Very good. It's not
it's
a regular...
It's not a regular Kenyan, it's just...
What do you mean it's not a regular Kenyan? So this is a very sticky Shiloh and Hichos Gittin. Machokas in Rebchaim and the Ketos HaChoshen. Do you need a Kenyan even for Nesina Saget? It could be a venasan biyada is a kula on hilchos gittin that you don't need to be makne the actual get to her. It's sufficient to have a nesina, and you can have cases of nesina that aren't kinyanim. So you might say that in a chanami, you might concede the point that for an actual acquisition for a kinyan, you need hanacha on the karka. It has to land in the chatzer. But since here the halacha is just that you have to give it to her venasan biyada, so you might say the airspace is sufficiently nasan biyada. Even though the Kenyan is not yet effective. You have a special leniency with respect to Gittin. So that might depend on the question in Gittin, whether you need her to be Kone, or whether it's sufficient to just have an Asina. One of the Nafkaminas to that important question is Gita V'yada Boin Ka'achas. There's always the catch-22 in Asina Saget that we say Kol Ma'asha Kone Isha Kone Baila. Anything that she's Kone, her husband's automatically Kone. So how do you really ever have a... How are you ever makna to get to her? So the clever answer... So one of the answers is to say that, no, forget, you don't really need a kinyan. So it's venasan biyada. The moment she even has it in her hand, it's already hers. So you don't say komasha kana isha kana baila, because here it doesn't depend on a maisa kinyan even. That's just one way. There are many nafkaminas too. There are cases where a kinyan won't be effective, and yet the get will be effective.
Could it be that it's a kinyan? I mean, I know this is marriage. Could it be that it's a kinyan, but once it's in her, since the benatan miyada enables it to be like hers in general, so meaning benatan miyada like starts the process, then once the benatan miyada like separates her relationship, she's not totally divorced, but it separates her from her husband.
And why you don't have the problem of kinyan? Yeah.
And then once it's biyada, then the kinyan could take effect.
Yeah, that's where you could acknowledge that it's a kinyan, but still but explain still say, why. Yeah. Yeah, that would be an alternative. Okay, I believe that's where we left off. What do we have in the sugya in Bava Kama? What do we have in the sugya in Bava Kama? Ayinu Mabez. Jeremy, what do you have?
I'm trying to find a case where you can be chayav skila for Shabbos and also chayav geneva, chayav 4 or 5 times.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good. I mean, you want to say where you have Shabbos and geneva with kimle, without kimle.
Without.
Right? Because the Gemara says... meaning you don't apply kimle. The Gemara says Tanya Potter. You have another Bryce that says Potter. How do you resolve this tira? So the Gemara said. The Gemara is trying to give us a case. So what's a case with kimle? What's the case with kimle?
Zruk
nevosayich lechatzeri v'tikni li gnevusech. All right. So let's say Jeremy steals. I say Jeremy bimakne. The davar haganav to me, throw it into my field, throw it into my chatzer, and I'll be kone. So the geneva, the shinui rishus, happens the moment I'm kone. When does the chi of Shabbos happen?
Depends.
So it depends. If you hold kluta kamisha hun chadamya, then when does the chi of Shabbos happen? The moment it arrives in your airspace. When does the kinyan go into effect? Seems according to everybody in this gemara. When does the kinyan go into effect?
Let's see.
The moment enters the airspace.
That's why you have kimle bejav mine. That's a case where you'll be putter for the geneva and only chayav linyan Shabbos if you hold of kluta. However, if you hold like the rabbanon that kluta is lav kamisha hun chadamya, then when you chayav for Shabbos, when it's not on the ground. When you kona the geneva, when it's in the airspace. So if you hold like the rabbanon, you couldn't say kimle b'jav mine in this case. Good? Very straightforward gemara. So what does the gemara assume according to everybody? Meaning even if there's machlokas lenin Shabbos, even if they're going to argue about klutik mishon chadar lenin Shabbos, it seems like everybody agrees that you're kona the geneva in the airspace of the chatzar, like we saw in Gittin. Everybody agrees lenin kinyanim. The only shaila here is about kutel lenin Shabbos. Correct? That seems to be an implication of the gemara. What does Rashi say? Klutik mishon chadar milin, can you read Rashi? Hazorik mershus l'rshus.
I
am a bit, 70B.
Yeah.
Third to last Rashi.
That wasn't the Dibramach. Okay. Azorik mershus l'rshus. Kivan shekalta l'avir nidchayev mishum Shabbat. Imtza chiyuv Shabbat v'chiyuv mechira v'ayin ke'echad. She'avir k'chatzer kana l'lokeach. Dechivan disofo lanu achma.
So what's that last line? Why is avir chatzer kona l'lokeach? Avir disofo lanuach. That's the din of kinyanim according to Rashi. Right? This is a regular case of Geneva, Kinyanim. Look back at Gittin Ayin Tesamid Aleph, Rashi Dibir Maschil V'Halo Mintar. Gittin Ayin Tesamid Aleph, Dibir Maschil V'Halo Mintar. What does Rashi there say? Yeah. Kivan Shiyatim Mershis Agag Megureshes. The Gemara's question is, Ha Ein Sofo Lanuach. So how could it work? The Gemara's answer is, no, the Mechitzos are high enough. If the mechitzos on the outside are higher enough, then it is avir shesofa lanuach, because you could project that the get will land inside the chatzer. So Rashi, that's not in the Gemara in Gittin, but Rashi reads that in. As you see, Rashi in Gittin and Rashi in Bava Kamma is working with the same category of avir shesofa lanuach. Very straightforward.
But in either case, I don't have them in front of me, but does he explicitly apply to Shabbos in either case? Meaning the first case, right?
Just Gittin. I'm saying the Kinyan, the non-Shabbos cases.
Kinyan,
yeah, the non. Rashi seems to be equating Bava Kamma and Gittin. Both of them are Mishum Avir Shesofa Lanuach. Good? Okay. What does Tosos point out in Bava Kamma? I know a base, and Gittin I intestimate Aleph. Tosos raises an objection.
About the Rabbi Kiva stuff?
Before you get to the Rebbe and Rebbe Akiva stuff, Tosos Dibur Maschil Kigon in Gittin, and Tosos.
No.
I think, no, that's Tosos Kaman, that's fine, but I think Tosos Le'inyan Shabbos Le'mechavet Mat B'chatzer.
The Rebbe Akiva.
No, you're right. Kaman. Oh, sorry, Kaman. Yeah, Tosos Kaman. Yeah, so what's he pointing out there?
That for Rebbe Akiva, should be Chayav. You shouldn't need to wait until it comes into the chatzer until to be chayav. You should be chayav the moment that it's above the chatzer because the Rishita Yachid.
Excellent. Tosos points out, how could the Gemara say that according to Rabbi Akiva you have kimle b'jav mineh for kluta and geneva? Q. When are you chayav for kluta on Shabbos?
The moment it reaches the airspace.
When are you chayav for geneva?
Seems to be the same.
No, Tosos says. Tosos says when?
From.
What's the critical moment? When it comes within the height of the mechitzos. So let's say the mechitzos are 20 feet tall. So if the chayfetz comes 40 feet above the chatzer, so you violate Shabbos, and you're not going to the geneva until it hits the 20 foot mark. That's also the question.
What was 20? What was 40 in that example?
The mechitzos are 20 feet tall.
Okay.
The chayfetz comes 40 feet high. So you violate Shabbat, Rosh Hashanah Yachid is Ola Ad L'Rakia. So Kluta Kamisha Unachadamya kicks in at 40 feet. The Kinyan, the actual Kinyan Geneva, only kicks in at 20 feet. That's Tosos' assumption. Why does Tosos say that? Because the Gemara in Gittin. The fact that you need Mechitzos, Hachitzonos, Otfos, Al Helionos, Tosos says means, or translates that to mean, that you're only actually Kona the Get, or the object, once it comes into the airspace of the Mechitzos. You might have said that's not true. You might have said what? You might have said that you need mechitzos elyonos otfos just to trigger avir shesofa lanuach. That doesn't mean in order to allow you to apply kluta, but it doesn't mean that the kluta only goes into effect once it's physically in the airspace of the mechitzos. Okay? Tosos is assuming that the kinyan goes into effect only once it hits the airspace. So how could you say kluta? How could you say kimle b'jav mineh? the Shas Kenyan and the Shas Chiyuv are two different moments in time. So what's Tosa's answer, Rachel?
No, he limits it to the case where you just throw it directly and you don't.
You throw it in through a door or through a window. So it's below the Mechitzos. So the Kuta and the Kenyan happen at the same time. That's Tosa says with Kuta.
What were you saying he assumes?
I think he's assuming the Gemara in Gittin 9 Testament Aleph says, Nim Mechitzos Hachitzonos Odfos Ala Elyonos. Why? To trigger Avir Shesofel Anuach. Right?
Right. Forget.
For so Tosis is assuming that not only is that necessary to create Avir Shesofel Anuach to allow you to apply Kluta, but that the actual Kinyan get only goes into effect once it reaches the airspace.
Right. I mean, you're saying you could have had a Hamanah.
Let's say you could have Sofel Anuach.
Even above.
Right.
Oh, because I thought you were going to say that he's also just assuming the equation between
Gittin and Kinyanim.
Yeah.
I think Rashi already makes that joke.
And not even Gittin and Kinyanim, but also Gittin and Shabbos. Because they're, like, meaning, in Gittin, there's only Mechitzot Tachon Oladal El Yona was only for Gittin. So whether it's Kinyanim or whatever it is. But here, Tosfot's saying, even the Chayiv Shabbos.
But for Shabbos, we know that you'll be Chayiv in the airspace because Kluta Kamisha Hunchadam, yeah. I mean, because Rosh and Rosh Hashanah Yachid Ola Adler Akiya.
Right, so I'm just, but so I thought that was an assumption, though. Meaning, even though you could think that even though we hold kuta, so it still has to be within.
Oh, Linyan Shabbos, you're saying.
Yeah.
Linyan Shabbos. Okay, so we'll come to that in a second. We'll come to that. We'll ask. Linyan Shabbos doesn't make sense to require that it has to be inside the mechitzos.
Yeah.
Tos is assuming that it's the Rosh Hashanah Yachid that's kolei, not the mechitzos. So right. If the Rosh Hashanah Yachid's kolei, the Rosh Hashanah Yachid's ola ad l'rakia.
Right.
That's Tos's assumption. Okay. Now, I mentioned last time as well. That the Ramban and a lot of the Rishonim in Gittin are very upset with the Rambam Shita. The Rambam thought that the Gemara in Gittin means that you need the Mechitzos Hachitzonos Odfos Alayonos. That means, and Avir Shesofel Anuach, that if the get blows out of the actual Chatzer of the Isha, so she's not Megureshes. The Ramban asked, how could it be that she's Megureshes once it reached the Avir Mechitzos, and she's not Megureshes the moment it blows out? That can't be. Rabban is very unhappy with that suggestion of the Rambam. So the Ramban maintains that no, of course, the moment it reaches the Avir HaChatz, the Avir HaMechitzos, she's Megureshes, no matter what happens afterwards. Okay? Now I just want to point out that that argument of the Ramban, that argument between the Ramban and the Rambam, is structurally identical to what I'm just pointing out in Shitas Tosos. The Rambam says Avir Shesofel Anuach means the get is not actually chal unless it falls in the chatzer. Tosos is arguing that the kinyan cannot be effective until the get actually falls into the airspace of the mechitzos. The Ramban counters to the Rambam that no, it doesn't actually have to land, it just has to be Sofel Anuach, and that's sufficient to trigger the halacha. And I'm saying against Tosos, so you might say that if you have Sofel Anuach by projecting that it'll fall in the Mechitzos, then the Kluta happens even before it falls into the Mechitzos. Okay? I was pointing out that what the Ramban challenges in the Rambam Shita is almost identical to what I'm just challenging in Tosis' assumption here. Rachel, you good with that?
Yeah, I mean, you still have the Shabbos Gittin equation thing, but...
I mean the Shabbos Gittin equation.
Meaning that you want to challenge Tosfos' position on Kluta L'Inyan Shabbos, whereas
I'm challenging Tosfos on Kluta L'Inyan Kinyanim. Inyan Kinyanim.
No, because Tosfos was talking about Tosfos was saying that Rabbi
Kiva. Tosfos is saying that L'Inyan Kinyanim we're not kona until it falls into the Mechitzos.
Yeah, but that I think was an assumption. I think that's what I was confused about before. That's like an assumption in the Gemara. That's not a chiddush.
Is it?
I think so.
The Gemara just says, "Ni mechitzos el yonos odfos al tachtonos."
Yeah, but there's no hava in the Gemara to have the kinyan start once it's above the.
The Gemara in Gittin. The Gemara says that in order for the get to be chal, for the gershon to be chal, the moment it leaves the airspace of the roof, you need the outside mechitzos to be taller. Okay, so Tosos reads that to mean, but that's because you actually need it to be in the airspace on the height of the mechitzos in order for it to be Megureshes. Right. I'm saying maybe the Gemara meant that You need the mechitzas on the outside to be taller because now you could project the fact that it'll land in the outside chatzer.
But then, first of all, then why do you need the mechitzas to be taller? That the whole point is that if you could project, then you could project without mechitzas.
Right, because it's the same thing according to Tosos. How do you know he didn't throw the get in an upward motion?
What do you mean? I don't get that. What do you mean?
How do you know
Tosfot's saying, you're saying, meaning why? Because Tosfot would say, for Kinyanim, like, the way that Kinyan works is that it has to be in the
But what's the Rai? The Rai is from Gittin.
Is the
Rai
that,
is from Gittin.
What? Because Tosfot brings, you're saying, because Tosfot, yeah, but that's, so you're telling
me. Because Rai is from Mechitza Tachtonos, Otfos Al Alyonos. I'm saying, who said that's because it has to be actually on the height of the Mechitzas? Maybe that's a din, and that you need to project Sofal Anuach. And you could project that the moment the outside mechitzos are taller than the inside ones. It's a bit of a side point, but...
Yeah, Fine.
Good? Okay. Yeah. But what I want to bring out with this is that you see that even if you're holding of this quasi-kluta outside of Shabbos, le'inyan kinyonim, you see, we're pointing out that there are at least three differences in the assumption of these gemaras. Number one, the assumption that you need sofal anuach. Most basic assumption, which no one thinks you need for Hilchos Shabbos. For Hilchos Shabbos, again, it's passing through the middle Rishos. No one thinks it's actually going to land there. It's not Sofal Anuach there, and yet we say you're Chayav L'Inyan Shabbos L'Rabbi Akiva. That's the first difference. Second difference is this point of the Rambam. The Rambam thinks if it doesn't actually land in the Chatzer, so then the Gerushin is not Chal. So not only do you need sofal and nuach, you need an actual nach basof. Whereas in Hilchos Shabbos, nobody thinks you need that. And third is Tosis's chiddush in Bava Kamma and Gittin, that le'inyan Shabbos, the kluta happens in the airspace above the rishos, no matter how high it is. Le'inyan kinyanim, it actually has to be within the height of the mechitzos. That's just three differences. Even if you're going to apply this kluta in Kol Tar Kula for kinyanim, three differences between that kluta and the kluta of Hilchos Shabbos. Okay. Now let's come back to kluta in our Gemara in Hilchos Shabbos. Kluta kamisha hunchah damya. How did you understand the halacha? Jeremy, how do you understand the halacha?
We just look at it like a regular halacha.
Okay. Kluta kamisha hunchah damya gets you a hanacha. Where's the hanacha happening?
It's happening on the ground.
On the ground. Why do you say that?
Because that's where hanacha would need to happen.
Okay. So Jeremy thinks that you have to have a hanacha on the ground. So kluta kamisha honcha means kilu it's hanacha gabi karka. That's how you want to explain it. Okay.
That's the word kamo there. I mean, it's parallel too, as if it were on the ground.
On the ground.
So we need to actually look at it. Like,
okay. That
otherwise,
is
it would say kluta, I don't know, shame hanach or something like that. I don't know.
Okay. Not the strongest proof. Not the strongest. No, but you could have said, and this I'll come to later. You could have said the kluta kamisha huncha damya refers not to that it's as if it's nacha gabi karka, but that even the hanacha that you get with kluta doesn't have the full force of a regular hanacha.
Right.
I mean, it's not modifying. What? Well, it's not a virtual hanacha. It's not like a halachic halacha. But even the hanacha that you have is not as strong as the hanacha of a physical one. So I'll come to that. So where is this kluta happening? Is anybody willing to entertain that you could have a kluta kamisha huncha in the airspace? You're fine with it. So you think Jeremy's being tolerant enough? What?
I mean, I think it's fine too, but I also think you can understand that it's happening there.
Okay. So let's take this as a chakira.
Before we go on, how strongly do we have to buy into the formulation of actually munach? Why can't it be that halakhically it's as if it was munach and it wasn't actually, and
okay.
Because you have...
Good. So we have a double chakira. Okay. Does kuta even need a hanacha? Then I might say that kamisha huncha dami is a melitza. I mean, it's not serious. Kamisha huncha means that just like hanacha is mechayiv, kuta is mechayiv, but kuta is not a hanacha. That's one way of phrasing. Or you'll say, kuta is a virtual or a halachic hanacha. Then you have to ask, is this hanacha happening in the airspace or is it happening on the ground? Okay, so right now I'm going to assume that you need a hanacha. The only question is where it's happening. And then we'll challenge that later. So everyone look at Rashi's formulation in Gittin Ayin Tes Mem Aleph. What does Rashi say there? How does he characterize Kluta? Remember, it's coming up on Pesant in the Gemara in Gittin, and Rashi just trying to clue us in as to what Kluta is. What does Rashi tell us Kluta is there? Okay, I'll read the next Dibur Maskil. Kluta b'socha avir? Kemisha huncha al aretz. Right? You were worried there for a second, Jeremy, right? Yeah. Oh, no. Right, so kluta b'socha avir is kemisha huncha al aretz. That's a very nice definition of kluta. Take a look as well. So it's actually noch on the ground. Take a look at Rabbeinu Chananel on Daf Dalet on the base in our Gemara. I have it at the very last, very end of the page. Rabbeinu Chananel Dalet Amud Aleph in Shabbos. The Ukma Rabba Rabbi Akiva de Savar Kluta. You have it?
Yeah.
What does he say? Beautiful. Right, again, Rabbeinu Chananel, like Rashi in Gittin, says, Kluta ba'avir is kemisha huncha ba'aretz, bekarka. So you project the kluta as if it's happening on the ground. You find it? Probably, I have it as the very last one in Dalet Amud Aleph. Jeremy?
Yeah.
Got it?
No.
It's confusing. You have like a lot of stuff going on in the margins.
Yeah.
It's down in Dalet Amud Aleph, the last one?
I have it in Dalet Amud Bet.
Oh, yeah, in Dalet Amud Bet?
Yeah, okay, it is.
Okay. That's a very nice formulation, once again. The problem is Rashi here, look at Rashi's formulation here. Dalet Amud Aleph, Kluta hachefetz, hoel v'niklat, Rashi and Dalet Amud Aleph, hoel v'niklat ba'avira shel reshus harabim, kimi shehuncha b'sochohu. So somebody pointed out that's how the Tzivin Merome Sada reads it, like you just read it. He wants to reconcile Rashi here with Rashi and Gittin, and he says, yeah, Nikla Davir So Shesarabim is Kamisha Huncha Besocho, meaning Besocho Shesarabim, right?
Yeah.
The thing is, and somebody made this argument to me, that what's the Is Rishus Zachar and Akeva?
I thought that at first thing also, but I think that I don't.
Think it cuts both ways.
Yeah.
Rishus is not always Nakeva.
I don't know. I'm not positive, but I
thought Rishus is usually Nakeva. I could be wrong. No. Shtei Rishuyos. Say.
Yeah, but.
So then you would say Avir is definitely Zachar. So you'd say Hov and Niklat ba Avira. Avira shall Rishus, no?
Yeah.
Avira assumes that Rishus is Nekeva. So you Avira shall Rishus Rabbim, Kemisha Huncha Bisocho, Bisocha Avir.
I'm not sure how much, but it's
a good diak, right?
Yeah.
It sounds like it's Bisocha. So you definitely have different formulations here in the Rishonim. So what would be some interesting? So you're right.
Rishud Acheret, it's like comes up a lot.
Yeah.
Rishud Acheret, right? Yeah. And Shtei Rishuyos, and yeah. So this would be a good idea that it's in the Avir actually. So let me just give you a couple of just concrete nafkamina to pin down this notion that, or to try to take a stance on whether the kluta is happening in the hanacha is happening in the airspace or on the ground. So we already noted Tosas Chiddush and Dalet Amud Aleph, Dibur Maskil Aval Lamata. Achel Ostos is Chiddush on Dalet Amud Aleph about Kluta. About one important restriction on applying Kluta. When can't you apply it?
When someone's holding up.
Excellent. When the Chifetz is Biyad HaAdam, so you can apply Kluta. So what's the problem of it being Biyad HaAdam?
The Avir can't be Nikot, is the Adam.
Okay. So I'll just give you a Machokas Achronim here. The Chelkas Binyamin says, that's because you have a hefsek between the hand and the karka. The hand is being mafsik between the hand is being mafsik between the object and the karka. So it's a kind of like avir she'ein soful anuach. Right, so you can apply kluta kamisha honecha there. So he's assuming that you're projecting the hanacha on the ground, and if something is in between the ground and the objects, then you can't apply kluta kamisha honecha anymore. Other achronim, the Adar Sel Yahu here writes that no, the reason why yad prevents you from saying kluta according to Tosos is because the chifetz is no longer defined as being inside the avir rishus sarabim. It's defined as being inside your hand. So they're arguing gufa on this question. Is the problem, they're assuming like Tosos, that yad is a problem, but is the problem that it's not nochal gabi karka, it's a hefsik, or is the problem that it's not considered to be in the avir rishus sarabim? I'll give you a second interesting nafkamina, kluta outside of Hilchos Shabbos. If you look in the Gilyon Marsha on the back of the Gemara, so he quotes the Ber Hetev in Orach Chaim, Simon Chaf Hei, Siv Katan Ches. What's an Orach Chaim Chaf Hei? Okay, close. I think it's Tefillin. Tefillin. How is Tefillin, Mayan and Shemitah Yitzel Har Sinai, how is Tefillin relevant to Kluta? Great Shaila. So somebody wanted to know, they made a bracha on the Shel Rosh, it's about to put tefillin on. They made the bracha, they're holding the Shel Rosh over their head, and then they were mafsik. Okay, so do you have to make a new bracha? Because you're mafsik before you put on the Shel Rosh. That's the Shaila that Ber Hetev discusses in Or HaChaim there. So he quotes the Hilchos Ketanos, who paskin down the Shaila, that you don't have to make a new bracha, because kutas k'mishon chadamya. Kuta kamisha hun chadamya, so you don't have to make a new bracha. Now, the Per Hetev himself says, that's ridiculous. Why? He says, because lo shayach kuta biyad, like Tosas and Shabbos on Daf Dalet, since you're holding your tefillin in your hand, so you can apply kuta kamisha hun chadamya.
So the mitzvah of tefillin is that it should be munach on you?
Yeah. It should be totafos b'nei necha.
But don't we specifically say the bracha a lot?
Yeah, we usually do, but if you pour, yeah. If you make the bracha before you fix it on your head. Right, so we say that the over las yasa is tightening it.
Right. So this question assumes that that's not the.
No, it's a little pre the over. It's a little early, but it's still over las yasa if you're not mafsik.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So he says, because you don't say kuta biyad. So Shlomo Kluger just challenges that and says, no. Kuta kamisha hon chadamya at best makes it a kuta ba'avir. There's no mitzvah of having tefillin in the avir above your head. The mitzvah of tefillin is that it should be b'nei necha on your head. So of course, even if you want to apply kuta kamisha hun chadamya, it wouldn't help you for this tefillin case. Because at best, so it's niklat above your head. But that wasn't a ma'isa hanacha yet, because it has to be on your head. Well, in the mitzvah of hanachas tefillin. Okay, so once again, the Ber Hetev and the Reb Shlomo Kluger are arguing, if you were to apply kuta, where would the hanacha be? So the Ber Hetev says the technicality, you can't apply kluta here because biyad. But were you able to apply kluta here, right? You wouldn't have a problem. It would be considered that you're mafsik after you put on the tefillin, which is fine. Yeah, cute.
Yeah, that's my question.
Good. And it's not a Hilchos Shabbos question over here, but it crystallizes the kluta k'mishon chadamya question. Number three, third nafkah mina to this question, and this pertains not to a physical hefsik between you and the chefetz, between the chefetz and the ground. What about a halachic hefsik between them? Where do you have a kind of a halachic hefsik between them? So the debate between the Ramban and Tosos on Daf Dalet Amud Beis. What did the Ramban suggest? Tosos had the question, if you want to apply kluta kamisha hun chadamya, how could he be yolef zorek mi Moshe? Why? Moshe's going from Lamata from Rosh Hashayachid through a Rosh Hashayachid Malame Asara into another Rosh Hashayachid. Right? So Tosa said, if you hold Kluta, so you have a Hanacha on the Makom Ptur. What did Ramban say? Rachel, what did Ramban say?
Just say one more time the question of why.
Tosa said that if you say kluta kamisha hun chadamya, So then how could you learn Zorek out from Moshe?
Right.
Right. Moshe means you're going from Rosh Hashayachid through a Rosh Hashayachid Lamala Me'asara into another Rosh Hashayachid. Right? And we're saying, oh, you see that you're also Chayav for Zorek.
Good Zorek.
But how could that be? Zorek, you have a Kluta Kamisha Hunchadamya in the Makom Ptur. So you should never be Chayav for such a Zrika.
Is that the Ramban about Kluto?
Yeah, Kevan this probably delay by.
Yeah,
but I thought that was the reason why we don't say Kluto.
Right. Ramban answers that question, answers Tosa's question, by saying you couldn't say Kluta Kamisha Hunchadami in the Makom Ptur.
Oh, his question was, isn't it?
Tosa's question, isn't it considered a Hanacha in the Makom Ptur because of Kluta?
And therefore you would.
Therefore you would not be able to learn out Zorek Mimoshe.
Okay.
Right? So Ramban said, no, there's no Kluta in the Makom Ptur. Why? Or in this Makom Ptur?
Because.
Espalig Rishusa. Because Lamala Me'asara in Rosh Hasharabim is considered to be a halachically different area than Lamata Me'asara. Right? Confused?
I got it.
Okay. What's implicit in the Ramban's reasoning? Implicit in the Ramban's reasoning. Excellent. The Ramban's whole svara is that Kluta Kamisha Hunchadamya is an attempt to make it nach on the grounds. But over here, since the Makom Ptur is a different kind of an area than the Rishus of the ground, so you can't apply Kluta Kamisha Hunchadamya. Tosos, in principle, had no problem doing that. Tosos was saying that Kluta in a Makom Ptur is a Hanach on a Makom Ptur. The Ramban says you can't apply Kluta in a Makom Ptur precisely because the Hanacha would have been in a Rosh Hasharabim. Is that clear? So you see, once again, this machlokas in the Ramban and the Antosos is a machlokas at whether how you're applying Kluta in the Avir Agave Karka. Let me give you a fourth Nafka Minute to this question, then we'll move on. Is it conceivable to have Kluta Kamisha Hunchadamya as Dalar al Dalar? Why? Is it conceivable to have Dalar al Dalar through Kluta Kamisha Hunchadamya? From the Shaka Vitari and Dalar Manal to Dalar and Bez, it seems that does Kluta have Dalar al Dalar?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
The whole point of the Gemara is who holds that you don't need Dalar al Dalar?
Right.
It's Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva holds of Kluta. The assumption of the Gemara here is that you can't have Dalar al Dalar with Kluta. Seems to be the assumption of the Gemara. However, you might say that that's rejected Lamaskana. Okay, you could say a different, but I'll just point out, just for example, that on Sadi Gimel, on Sadi Beis Amid Aleph, when Tosos posed his question about Eged Yad, Tosos said, "V'halo l'mala migimel Rabbi Akiva, kimo l'mata migimel l'rabbanan." Rabbi Akiva's kluta l'mala migimel in Rosh Hasharabim is identical with the Rabbanan's l'mata migimel, meaning love it for the Rabbanan is identical with kluta for Rabbi Akiva.
Without
that,
Al-Dalar isn't a factor there.
So what does the Gemara say? It's not a factor in that scenario. The question is, how strongly does Tosas mean it as an operative assumption? Right? The Gemara on Hey Amid Aleph says explicitly that do you have Al-Dalar for Lovud?
Yeah.
Yeah, because the Gemara said you could say our Mishnah is a case where you put your hand Toch Gimel, and that's how you have Al-Dalar. So if you take Tosas' analogy seriously, then Tosas thinks that according to Rabbi Akiva, you should have Al-Dalar also in the includes Yekamisha Hanukadamya. The Avni Nezer in Orach Chaim in Tshuva Reish Mem Sifkatan Simin Dalid Reish Mem Sifkatan Dalid. So he thinks that if you take Rashi and Gittin seriously, that Kluta Ba'avir is Kamisha Huncha Agabe Karka, not only could you hold that Kluta is Dalid al Dalid, but essentially you have to hold that Kluta is Dalid al Dalid. That's the whole point. Kluta Ba'avir is Kamisha Nach Agabe Karka. So of course you have Dalid al Dalid. The whole Gemara on Dalar Amid Aleph and Dalar Amid Beis assumes not that way. So he says, no. What the Gemara meant is that you don't have a physical Hanacha Al-Gabe Dalad. Meaning, who holds that you don't need a physical Hanacha Al-Gabe Dalad? That's Rabbi Akiva. But halachically, Rabbi Akiva holds that you need some sort of Dalar Al-Dalad in a halachic sense. Okay? So I would say like this. If you think that a Kluta Ba'avir is a Hanacha Ba'avir, then there's no way you could have Dalar al-Dalar for Kluta. if you hold Kutub Avir's Kamishon Chabaretz, then you could have Dalit al Dalit. I don't think you're forced to say it. The Avdi Nezer felt that you have to hold that. Kutub Avir Kamishon Chabaretz means also Inyan Dalit al Dalit. We'll see. We'll see that when we move a little forward in the Gemara. We'll see cases where you could split between the Makom Hanacha and the Dalit al Dalit of the Makom Hanacha.
I just have a question. I'm not reading the Gemara.
Sure.
So if you want, if Klita, I thought that at first also, right, that when the Gemara says, what the Shri Vitar Mishnah Rabbi Kiva, it's not saying Klita, you don't need Dal, just saying that Klita could
be Dal.
You don't
have physical, right.
But then you'd have to say that, okay, so then...
Or you suggested it on Sunday.
Yeah, then you'd have to say that, then I realize it can't be, because then you have to say that, okay, fine, so Klita replaces Dal, then in our Mishnah, it must be something else that's replacing Dal, so you'd have to say it's like, you have to attribute something else to replacing the Adah there. So you could say it's Yadah Shal Adam that just automatically replaces it.
Right, that's the Maskana of the Gemara.
That's the Maskana of the Gemara. Right. So implication is that wasn't implied in the first, like, until Rava said Yadah Shal Adam Chashivalo.
Right. You have to say something that Yadah Shal Adam is, like, considered more concrete Dalit al-Dalit than a halachic one. Just to give you the Rambam's analogy,
meaning it's like a physical, as if it's right, a physical right. Dalit.
Since the yad has kibbutz upishut, since you can move your fingers around the object, so you actually have the physical equivalent of dalit al dalit.
And then until
it's a sturdier makom hanacha.
So we were just assuming that it was like a non-physical, but
So yad is a physical dalit al dalit, or it's physically whatever dalit al dalit is meant to be. Whereas kluta kamisha unchadamia assumes some sort of artificial construction, or some like halachic construction. Good. Now, that's just the question, what's the hanacha agavi karkar, is the hanacha ba'avir? What else do we have to ask? Is there a way, and this is Rachel's suggestion really from Sunday, to say that kluta means you don't need a hanacha? Not kluta kamisha hincha damya and then ask where the hanacha is, but that kluta is a way of bypassing hanacha and you can be chayav for hutzah anyway. So here I don't have concrete rayos or concrete indications, but I would just point to the Ramban, possibly as somebody who holds this view. What does the Ramban suggest on Hema Beis in applying Kluta? He's motivated by the Gemara's question with respect to Ben Azai. Q, do you see the Ramban?
Yeah.
What does the Ramban there suggest? When's the only time you apply Kluta?
This is for Sechayev or Iftar.
Okay, that's the same position as Tosi Yishanim, good.
But when there's a Chilek
Rishuyos. This is very strange. If you want to tell me that Kluta Ba'avir is Kamisha Huncha Gabi Karka as like a din, then why should that be contingent on an actual Chilek Rishuyos? Kluta is Kamisha Huncha Damya, so the airspace is like it's knock on the ground. Why does Chilek Rishuyos need to trigger it?
Because you need Katua Machita, you need a physical thing there to like.
Right, so clearly you need some physical thing to trigger it, but you might say that the Ramban's point is really that Kuta Kamisha Huncha Damya is a way of having a significant Chila for Shuyos. That's what Kuta is all about. So when the Chifetz passes from one Rishos into another Rishos, that's going to be Mechayev L'Inyan Shabbos. Kuta is never about an Akira, about having a real physical Hanacha. So it's all about catching that chilaf for shuyos. That's kuta kamisha huncha damya. It registers as a chilaf, bypassing the actual hanacha. Okay. I'll just say, if you want to put the Rambans together, you might say there's Ramban l'shitaso on two other points. The Ramban, when it came to achshavei, the Ramban seemed to say that achshavei is not working to create a hanacha. Remember the achshavei dalet of dalet. Achshavei works that when you have something that's defined already as a significant action, so that's also going to be considered a significant action in Inyan Hotza. Right? Even without getting Dalit al Dalit in the Hanacha. So that's similar to Ramban saying either. Ramban saying when you have a significant Chilu for Shuyos, so you're going to be Chayav L'Inyan Hotza. For Achshavei, the Ramban said, when you have a significant action, you'll be Chayav L'Hotza. That might be Ramban L'Shitasa and how he's viewing Hotza over here. The Ramban, that was the Ramban on Hamid Aleph. It may also be the Ramban L'Shitaso, but here it's not so clear. When the Ramban spoke about why Hotzah Zamlacha Gruahi, the Ramban said, because the Masa Kaved. Why is it that you're potter for a masa kaved inside a rishus hayachid, v'chayev for hotzah kugogeres v'in a rishuyos? So Ramban's emphasis is clearly on this masa kaved issue, like the fact that there's like significant carrying. That's a bit of a weaker point. Okay, so the Ramban might be bypassing the whole notion of a hanacha when it comes to kluzik mishal and kadam. So now, turn to a parallel question. Step back. So that's with what does kluta get you? Okay. Do you need a hanacha for kluta? And where is that hanacha happening? Now I think we have to pose another question when it comes to kluta. What's that question? What else do we have to ask about kluta? It's also very related to this Ramban.
And the whole question of how it works and why it doesn't work every single second.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, it's clear that kluta can't be happening all the time. Why is that clear? From the Gemara on Hema Beis. What's on Hema Beis?
We're talking about
Dalat Amos. Yeah. Ben Azai for Dalat Amos Brishis Arabim. If the Gemara asks, or the question of Yushalmi, really? If you hold Mahalach Ome Damis, then you should never be chai for Dalat Amos Brishis Arabim. Right? And we'll talk about that later. But the Rishonim all ask the parallel question. You should have a problem for Kluta, the Rabbi Akiva. How do you ever have Dalat Amos versus a Rabbim? It's as if you had a Hanacha, and every Aman you should never be Chayiv. Correct? Okay. Now, the most narrow way of getting out of that problem, out of that specific question, is really the solution that seems to be posed by Tosfos on Hema Beis. What? Tosfos on Nat Dalam Rala. Tosfos Hema Beis.
We only take it with
them. That was Tosfos Shishanim on Daf Dalet. That's a little even broader, I think. That's a broader way of getting out of the question. But the most narrow, just solving the one question of Dalet Amos, is Tosfos on Hema Beis.
Oh, I don't know. I don't remember.
Okay, Tosfos says, Gemara Gemiri Law. Yeah, it's like a special halach on Dalet Amos, which is a rabbi, and the Torah says, you know what? It's true. Really, Kluta and Ben Azai should pater you from Dalet. But part of the Xeris, part of the halach of Moshe Misinai is that you're going to be chayiv even though you have a hanacha. Okay. You could phrase it in two ways. Either you could phrase it that, I'm sorry, you could phrase it either that the halacha is that Ben Azai and Kluta don't work within Dalid, or that even if you have a hanacha toch Dalid, nonetheless you're still going to be chayiv. Those are two different answers. We'll see this big nafkamina, because the Riva and Tosas has a suggestion that even if you're omeid lafush, even if you have a real hanacha le'inyan every other aspect of Hilchos Shabbos, and you continue walking, and then you're omeid lafush and you continue walking, that you'll be chayiv. Meaning, so it might be that for some reason Dalet Amos Brishis Arabim is just kind of impervious to hanachos. Good? That would be the most narrow way of getting out of the question. We'll get to the Tosos Shishanim in a second. The other way of getting out of the question is the Ramban. That's why the Ramban and Haman Beis is talking about this question. The Ramban, the Rashba, and the Ritva. That you only say Kluta Kamisha Hun Chadam Ya Baichila for Shuyos. Meaning, what triggers Kluta is a significant kind of an action. A significant Chiluf. It's very interesting. Here we're assuming that it's the action that triggers Kluta Kamisha Hun Chadam Ya. Okay? Another way of pointing to a trigger, so that's a significant action triggers kluta kamisha hun chadam. And there you have two variations, right? The Ramban said you need a mechitza, havaras mechitzos, and the Ramban and the Rashba and the Ritva drop the mechitzos. They just say bezer shuyos. But what else might you need to trigger kluta kamisha hun chadam? What else do we need for Kluta Kamisha?
Machshava.
So we'll get to Machshava in a second. We'll get to Ratzon. So here we saw the Ramban, a significant chiluf. What else? Focus here not on the action, but what is Kluta, essentially? It's Kluta Ba'avir. The airspace is grabbing it. Any airspace could grab the Chayfetz? Or maybe you need a specific kind of an airspace in order for the airspace to be able to grab the object and say it's munach here. Right? What do I mean? So here I think you have four permutations. The Gemara in Hamed Aleph has Shitas Rebbe. Rebbe is brought in Shabbos Hamed Aleph. And you only say Kuta Kamisha Hunchadamya when you have Dalad Mechitzos with a Korah, with a roof. That's the only way you could say Kuta, inside that bias. Okay? Rashi on Hamed Aleph said, how did Rashi describe Besa Kamad Damali Dami for Rebbe?
Have?
The aim. Very fascinating. According to this Rashi, Rashi says, like you have this warehouse that's filled up with objects all the way until the roof. So the reason why you're able to say Kluta, this is the most restrictive kind of Kluta Kamisha on Chadami of Rebbe. You could only say Kluta if you could view the airspace as being thick. The airspace is like a thick-like substance. And you can only say that if you have a roof.
If you think
the feet of one mali and Kuta and Kuta are the same thing, which the Gemara in Kitana and Tess seems to assume.
By bringing Rebbe.
By being Rebbe and calling and saying it's Kluta. I would just note, take a look very quickly in Rashi Tzadi Zayin Amid Aleph. Rashi Tzadi Zayin Amid Aleph. Last line on the page, Rashi. Also, she does Rebbe command the Mali. Side design of Aleph, Rashi command the Mali. Jeremy, have it. Last
second.
Side design of Aleph, last line. Command the Mali.
Mali mitosho chosha umalei ha.
Yeah, why does Rebbe say basis command the Mali Adami? Because the roofed house is dark and it's as if it's filled with hevel.
Yeah.
Right? It's very interesting. Rashi is describing the same sheet of Rebbe in Shabbos Tzadi Zayin Amid Aleph as he is on Hamed Aleph. And on Hamed Aleph, he uses the stronger analogy, the stronger mashal of Mali Chafatzim. It's filled with objects. And here he says, Mali it's Choshech Mali Havla. It's filled with like air. Why does Rashi give a different explanation of Shitas Rebbe? So the Pnei Yoshua on Tzadi Zayin explains, and this comes back to our discussion on Sunday, because the Gemara on Hamed Aleph is trying to say that Rebbe thinks Kluta gives you Dalet al Dalet. The Kluta of Rebbe, of Beis HaKamad Amal Yadami, actually gives you Dalet al Dalet. So that's why Rashi has to say it's Kemali Chafatzim Aragag. That's how the Gemara is using it in Hamed Aleph. The Sfas Emes goes further, and the Sfas Emes says quite nicely, the Gemara in Gittin invokes Shitas Rebbe, which we'll come back to in a second. In which case, where there's a, is there a roof in the Gemara in Gittin? When the Gemara invokes Rebbe, Safik. Why? Because 2 days in Tosfos,
yeah.
Right? Excellent. Tosfos 2 days. But let's assume that there's no roof there, like the Pashtus in the Sugya. Okay. So then. Isn't that a bit of a stira in Rebbe? So Tosas, yeah. Tosas has one answer, saying there's a roof there. Tosas has the other answer. It's a machlokes amorayim in interpreting Shitas Rebbe. That's Tosas's answer here in Shabbos Hamed Aleph. And one suggestion again, correct? Rachel, you saw Tosas?
Yeah, I see that question, sorry.
Okay. So Rebbe and Gittin hold you could have Kluta even without a gag. Correct? So Sasemesh says very nicely, no. Rebbe holds you could have Kluta even with Mechitzos, without a Gag. What you need a Gag, what you need a Mekura for is to make it Dalet al Dalet. So Gemara and Shabbos and Hamed Aleph is invoking Rebbe to get Dalet al Dalet. So then you need basic command the Mali Yudami, it's as if it's filled with objects up until the roof. The Gemara and Gittin, there's no din of Dalet al Dalet for Nesina Saget. You just need the Kinyan to be effective. So then, even Rebbe would admit Kluta, it just won't be a Kluta of Dalet al Dalet. Okay. So the most, again, the most, so here you could say that if you have a very thick, if you have a Rishus that's able to grab objects, like basic Kamad Amal Yadami of Rebbe, then you'll say Kluta Kamisha Hanachadamia. A second permutation, and here it's a little weaker, is Rebbe Shita in Gittin, especially according to Tosos and Shabbos Hamed Aleph, according to the Amoraim in Gittin, according to Rebbe Shita, you apply Kluta Kamisha Hunchadamya as long as you have Mechitzos. Now you need mechitzos in order to apply kluta. You don't need a roof. That's the day of Tosfos on Hamidal. A third permutation is, what's our third permutation? Let's say you have to find the next level of applying kluta. What would you say, Rachel?
Kiva version that any Rosh Rabbin.
Okay, but before that, I think that's the most liberal. You're right, it is Rabbi Akiva, but with one modification I'll throw in. And it's not clear, I don't have a sheet that says explicitly, where might you draw the line?
First student that has...
Okay, what's the one thing that you may not want to say kluta in? Makom Patur. Right? It depends. The Ramban said it's spalig reshusa. That's why you're not going to say in the Makom Patur. The question is, would he say it for a Makom Patur? That's al gabi karka. It's not clear. But you might say they apply kluta anywhere so long as it has a real shame reshus. A Makom Patur, which is lacking in a shame reshus, then you might not want to say kluta gmishon chadamya. So you might want to read that into the Ramban, but I have to look, see if anybody explicitly talks about kluta and Makom Patur. And the fourth is shitas Rebbe Akiva without any qualification. Right, shitas Rebbe Akiva, that kludas gmishon chadamya, bein bershus ha-yachid, bein bershus ha-rabin, bein be-karmelis, bein Makom Patur across the board. Okay, so that's all focusing on the reshus. What kind of reshus would you take to grab the object? Now we have to come back to my initial response to Jeremy. Once you say, assuming you'll say kluta kamishu hon chadamya, what is the status of the hanacha that's accomplished by that kluta? And how would I look? How would I look to gauge that? How munach is this? And is it different from a physical hanacha that you have lying on the ground? So here, let me just start with Tosfos Yeshanim. What was Tosfos Yeshanim's suggestion? Handalim Viz. You only apply Kluta Kamishon Chadami Lahachmir. Okay. Why does that make any sense? Right, we raised this question on Sunday, so why does that make any sense?
You apply
So you don't want to apply the Ramban, because the Ramban himself offers that and then offers a second suggestion.
Right.
Jeremy? Why would you only apply kluta lehachmir and not lehakel? So I think, Rachel, you gave a good suggestion on Sunday, right?
The fact that you all, meaning, we just need, this is not like a real hanacha, we just need the hanacha to complete the equation between chil for shiyot and
akira. Excellent.
It's applying the Ramban.
A little different than the Ramban. Let me explain why. So the way Rabbi Yosef Engel takes this in the Gilonei Hashas, the way he takes this Tosfos Yeshanim, very interesting interpretation. He says that Kluta Kamishon Chadamya really has, it's looking at this action from two frames. You have a continuous action of a moving object, but then you also have a derivative value where the object is stationary. The whole point of Kluta is that at every point the object is frozen in the airspace. Right? So you could look at it from this derivative value of being frozen at every point, or you could look at it from the perspective of an object in motion. Right? Kind of you have like the function and the derivative of the function. So he argues that's the duality of kluta. Every kluta has that. So now he says it depends. Why do we need this hanacha? If you need this hanacha to finish the act of hotzah, the makabe patish, so to speak, of the act of hutzah. So then, so long as the object is considered to be nach, i.e. it has this derivative status of a frozen frame that it stopped, then you'll be chayv, because you have a hanacha. It's still moving. Still moving is not necessarily a stira to having a hanacha. Okay? However, if you want to use this hanacha to say that the act of hotza that happened until now is completed, i.e., You did an akira in a rishus sayachid, and now you want to say that it's munach in a makom p'tur, such that anything that happens from now on is a hotzah shel p'tur, meaning you want to undermine the akira shel chiyuv. Then it's not sufficient to say that the object is nach. You have to demonstrate that the original action is over. The hanach and the makom p'tur has to undermine the initial akira. So there, since the object is still moving in a case of kluta, so you can't undermine the akira rishona. A very clever interpretation. So it's going to come out that in these cases you'll only be able to invoke hanach kluta kamishon hunchadami lechiyuv, because there it's sufficient to say that it's nach even though it's still moving. But you can never invoke it leptur, because leptur, there you need a stronger hanacha to undermine the akira rishona. A very clever analysis of the Rabbi Yosef Engel and the Gilyon Yashas. So I think what's implicit in his reasoning is that the actual hanacha of kluta kamisha hunchadamia is an inferior hanacha by virtue of the fact that the object is still in motion. And the nafkamina is that you'll only be able to apply it as a chiv of finishing off a ma'isa hutzah, but not to undermine the initial ma'isa akira. That's one nafkamina of this weaker hanacha. A second nafkamina is Tosas on Sadi Beis Amud Aleph, which we saw, that even though Eged Yad Shmei Eged cannot undermine the grabbing of the lavud within Gimel Tefachim of the ground, Eged Yad is Lav Shmei Eged, nonetheless, the hanacha of the grabbing of the airspace is weak enough such that Eged Yad is still Shmei Eged. Right? An object that's nach in lavud cannot be pulled away through Eged Yad Shmei Eged. An object that is nach through kluta can be pulled away through Eged Yad Shmei Eged. That was the assumption of the Rabbi Chanan in Tosas Tzadi Beis Amud Aleph. So they're assuming that the hanacha of kluta is weaker than the hanacha of lavud. Right? Those as two nafkamina to that question. Now, okay, so those are very important questions in analyzing kluta. If you assume there's hanacha, where is that hanacha happening? You might want to deny that there is a hanacha altogether, right? Maybe that's the position of the Ramban. What triggers the kluta? Is it an action of chilaf rishuyos, like the Ramban, Ritva, and Rashba, or is it a certain kind of a rishus that has the ability to grab it? And if you say that it is a hanacha, what level of hanacha is it? How does this hanacha compare to another hanacha? You want two other nafkamina to that question. You have Tosan Dal Amar Aleph, again, the question of biyad, not saying kuta when it's in your hand. Everybody seems to assume that you do say lavud when it's in your hand. Right, so the very chiddush of Tosan Dal Amar Aleph seems to assume that yad is sufficient to undermine the weak hanacha of kuta. Yad is not sufficient to undermine the strong hanacha of lavud. That would be a third nafkamina. Now let's come back to the Yushami and Gittin. Let's assume that the Yushami is telling us a din in Hilchos Shabbos. Ma bein Shabbos, ma bein Gittin, lo sasa kol melacha, v'ha nasas me'elecha. Can you explain that to me? What kind of distinction is that? Isn't every ma'isa hotzah after the akira nasas me'elecha? Rachel, how do you understand the Yushalmi?
I understood. I just don't remember how I understood it. Hold on. I mean, someone says it's an issue of like melacha machshava, but I still don't remember how that.
The Ritvan, the Ksav Yad in Gittin there says that it. The Ritvan of Chiddushim in Ksav Yad in Gittin says melacha machshava.
Yeah, but I don't remember how that.
He doesn't explain it. He just says, saying that Shabbos is the exception. Good, Shabbos is the exception. But how is it the exception? Q, how do you understand the Yushalmi?
I like the Ritva.
But how? What's the? Isn't every hotzah nasas me'elecha? You throw the object. Anything that happens after you throw it is done passively. So why is kluta, according to Rabbi Akiva, a problem nasas me'elecha? That the Chacham disagree. Dafka l'inyan Shabbos. Everywhere else the Chacham say kluta, but on Shabbos no. That's nasas me'elecha, and you need the perpetrator to be doing an active action. He has to be engaged in the action, and here he's not. So why is the Hanacha Gabi Karka more engaged in the action? Jeremy, what say you? How do you understand the Yushalmi, your two finals? midterms.
It can't be a real Hanafa. It's got to be a pseudo Hanafa, and
that's not the problem.
That's why it's more Nasei Me'ela than any other.
Why is a pseudo Hanafa more Nasei Me'ela?
Because no, you're not actually doing a malacha.
But you're not actually doing a malacha once it leaves your hand. Right? Hanachas happen on their own.
You could say that with baking. I know we had a whole discussion.
So they're putting it in the oven with das for it to happen. You're chayiv.
You throw it with das for it to land.
And?
It lands somewhere. I think generally, I guess you could say, when you're doing a malacha, your machshava is for the malacha to reach its end goal.
Ah, and here?
Here, the end goal is not Rishud HaYachid, it's Rishud HaRabim you're throwing it to.
Okay, right. So you might say over here to explain Yushalmi is that Hacha Nas Meleha, because what was your intent? Your intent is to throw it from a Rishus HaYachid to another Rishus HaYachid. Oh, the Rishus HaRabim intercedes now. So the Kluta of the Rishus comes into existence, it rears its head, and it grabs the object. That's Nas Meleha. Your action was to throw it into other Rishus HaYachid. And now you have something else intervening and grabbing it. So that's like what? You have intention to throw the object, and then somebody else comes and grabs it out of the air. So you're passive. You're not chayiv for that, because you didn't do the hanacha. Here the hanacha is done by the klitas harishus. The rishus intercedes. It intercepts it. So now you'll ask, okay, but that's assuming that you didn't have das for it to be nach in the airspace. Because if you have das to throw it b'piyak kelev, or to throw it to your friend, then you're chayiv for hotzah. Right? So this would explain why some Rishonim think that Das is critical for the Chiyuv of Kluta Kemisha Honachadamya. That's why you have the Rashba and Tzadi Chesamid Aleph. The Rashba says, maybe we don't apply Kluta Dafka when you didn't want a Hanacha. But if you say, Kol Hecha Shetirtza Tanuach, if you say, wherever it rests, I'm happy, then you would say Kluta Kemisha Honachadamya. Right? I mean, if your kavana is that wherever it's nach, that should be your action, then you will say kluta kemishon chadamya. Similarly, Tosus in Erevin on Tzadi Chesamid Aleph said, how come when the sefer rolls out of the guy's hand, Rabbi Yehuda, who does hold of kluta, as the Gemara tells us in Tzadi Zayin, Rabbi Yehuda does hold of kluta, how come Rabbi Yehuda says you're potter? As long as the other side of the Megillah doesn't hit the Rishus HaRabim. Say kluta kemishon chadamya. If you hold, you can roll it back, close mine, it doesn't hit the floor. So he says, no, because you didn't have kavana for it to land. Why does kavana make a difference? Kavana is a tnai in kluta kemisha unchadamya. So if you take this idea of the Yushalmi, that the problem of kluta is not that the hanacha is too superficial, and it's not that you don't have a sufficient shame or shus to grab the object, and it's not that you only say kluta and chila for shuyos. No, the problem of kluta is that it's not smelacha. You're not actively engaged in that action. So then, if you had kavana for it to be kol hecha shetirtza tenuach, or you wanted the klutah to happen, then it's considered your maisla in Yom Shabbos. That would explain the Yushalmi, and that would explain the heightened role of kavana in
the Yushalmi is working within Rebbe. That's why Rebbe required, meaning...
Or Rebbe Akiva, right. No, the Yushalmi is saying that for Rabbanan. Why is it that the Rabbanan who hold of klutah and kol tarakula, why is it that they don't hold of it in Yom Shabbos?
The question was,
Rebbe requiring...
No.
Ma ben Shabbos, ma ben Gitin. According to Rebbe, it's the same halacha. Because Rebbe holds a kutal in Shabbos, Rebbe holds a kutal in Gitin.
No, the issue... I mean, this is the how you... I look back at it, but I thought this is how... In the Rashba, this is how the Rishon was quoted. The question was, why does Rebbe require Mekor and Shabbos, but Gitin, we're assuming that... Meaning...
No, I don't think so. The Yishami's question now turns around. The Yishami asks... Because Yishami doesn't hold a Makura for Rebbe. I mean, maybe that's an earlier question in the Yishalmi. Here the Yishalmi is asking, why is it the Chacham who hold of Kuta and Kolatar Kula? They don't hold of it laying in Shabbos. The answer is Nasas Himela. Okay. But in cases of Kavana, then you might say Igri B'chai.
Is the Gemara, okay, whatever. I'll find the Rashba, but I thought it's the same answer that is given, whatever, I said.
Now, let's take a look at it when we walk. Okay. Let's walk into the basement and check a look. Okay, good. That's what I want to say on Kuta, Kimishon, and Chadamya. So we're off now for a week and a half, right?
Yeah.
We have a bit of a break. So when we come back, so we'll pick up with the Gemara on Dalar and Base. We'll do first. We'll talk a little bit about Lavud. compare Lavud to Kluta, because I already saw 2 points where Lavud counts as a Hanacha even though Kluta doesn't. And Tosa said that Lavud should be the same thing as Rabbi Akiva's Kluta, just one's below 3 and one's above 3. So we'll talk about Lavud a little bit. It comes up on Hayam and Aleph. The Gemara there assumes you have Dalal and Aleph for Lavud. And then we'll talk about Shadi Nofa Basar Ikaro. That's long Tosa on Dalal and Beis. And the Gemara here, when you apply the branch after the trunk of the tree. It's a very nice discussion. It touches on Makos, Ir Mikla, Maeser Sheni, Arla, some very interesting comparisons. And then we'll go on. Then I'm going to talk about Hayam Beis, Ben Azai, which is kind of a parallel to Klutik Mishon Chadan, Mahalech Ka Omeidami. And then we'll move on in the Gemaras. Go forward in the Gemara.
What should we see on the